true-born witness
for my Lord.
Can I get a witness
for my Lord?
Would you be a witness
for my Lord?
Tell me, would you be a witness
for my Lord?
I need a witness
for my Lord. I'll be your witness.
To ups and downs.
I'll be your witness.
Scattered all around.
I'll be your witness.
Don't you talk about me.
I'll still be your witness.
Scandalize my name.
I'll still be your witness.
False accuse me.
I'll still be your witness.
Point fingers at me.
But I'll still be your witness.
I'll be your witness.
I'll be your witness.
I'll be your witness because
I'll be your witness.
This rage is not given.
I'll be your witness.
To the swift of the strong, but
I'll be your witness.
To the world,
I'll still be your witness.
To the world,
I'll still be your witness.
Gotta hold on,
I'll
hold
on.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
But just a little while this morning, I want to talk about God's peace. God's peace. Paul has given the church at Philippi an instruction on how to receive God's peace. He's ministering to them because on this Christian journey, you're going to have ups and down, good days and bad. You're going to be right and wrong. And things many times will not always go your way. And then for the Philippian church to add the fact that they were new Christians and all of the condemnation against Christ and the people who were called the people of the way made it difficult for them to live daily, not knowing when their lives would be threatened or even lost. But one of the things Paul wanted to put in perspective against the background of all of the other things he had taught them and shared with them was how to get a prayer through. How to understand how to get the peace underneath the skin that nothing or no one could ever shake. So you back up to verse 6 and he says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. That word interpreted there is anxious, careful, anxious. Don't be worried about nothing, nobody, nada. Why? But in everything, regardless of the circumstances, the situation, whether you are up or down, in or out, right or wrong, whatever comes against you, little or great, it doesn't matter. In everything, he gives an important lesson for us to learn. Too many of us wait until our situations blow up before we decide to invite God in. Some of us will learn if we talk to him at the beginning, then our ending won't be so rough. If we learn how to ask him, what does he want? If we learn how to ask him, what does he want to say? If we learn to find out what his will is for our lives, we won't make so many incorrect decisions on this Christian journey. And one more thing, if we learn how to pray about everything, we won't have to worry about anything. So the first thing he says is pray. That's number one. Pray. That's your personal ability to communicate with God right where you are, the way that you are, in what you are in, to be able to simply talk to him. I know some of these deacons can pray and make you scared, saying, well, no, I don't know how to pray like them. I can't pray. Well, that's the gift God has given them. But here's what you need to know. He hears all his children. Whether you can pray like Paul or not, it doesn't matter. What matters most is if you communicate sincerely with God, your needs, your desires, etc. He wants to hear from you. And so the next thing he moves on is saying, and supplication. Now, supplication almost seems like prayer, but it's not. It's something a little more intense because it is some way that we say to God. It is an endearing reality that says to God, you're sincere about your prayer. You take on the form of knowledge that says, I know there's only one person who can bless me, and I'm going to God, and I'm going to stay right here until he blesses me. You have that kind of resolve that in your earnest plea to God, you are not going to move to any place of asking anyone else because God is the only one who can answer your prayers. And when you stay there, what you say to God is you're sincere and you mean what it is that you've asked him for. Now, when you move to the next level, because after you have prayed like that, there's going to be a confirmation in your spirit. 1 John 5:14-15 makes clear that we have this confidence that whatever we ask of him, if we know that he hears us, then the end result is we will have the petition that we asked of him. So when you pray as a believer, listen, you know in your heart of hearts that God has heard you. And if God has heard you, you don't have to wait till it gets here to start your praise party. You then begin to thank him right there in the prayer. Thank him for opening doors. Thank him for making ways. Thank him for what he's done. Thank him for what he's going to do. Thank you for the healing he's bringing. Thank you for the deliverance. Thank him for the promotion. Thank him for saving your marriage. Are y'all going to talk to me? You got to thank him in advance when you sincerely know that God can and God will and that you're waiting on him and on him alone. And so Paul says, when you learn how to make your requests known unto God. And this word known is an interesting word because it literally means, it's has multiple definitions, but the two that fit this text talks about certified and declare. In other words, when you make your request known to God, you are certifying to God your declaration. In other words, you're saying to God, I'm registering my petition. And I know not only am I registered, that's how you know you hear from it, you've sent it with return receipt. And that means, again, that you have the double confirmation of being able to thank God even before it happens. How many of you know we are people of faith? You believe it before you see it. You don't have to see it to start believing it. So if we're men and women and girls and boys of faith, then that means our faith should stand up and be seen when we talk to God, knowing that he is and that he is able and that he is willing. Now, let's get to this. After we know that we have what we petitioned him for, guess what he does next? It's right in the seventh verse. He gives us peace. Man, they talk about taking your house away. I already told God about it. Well, do you have the money? I don't have it, but he told me it's on the way. They repossessed my car. Hey, I mean, I didn't have it. I told them I was going to pay, but they wouldn't take my word for it. But I told my father, and he told me don't worry about it. Well, what is he going to do? He's going to either get it back or give me another one. Folks start looking at you crazy when you talk like that. And don't be worried about those things that you can't control. And you've given them to your Heavenly Father. And you know you're a child of the Most High King. And he's made you some promises. And you're cashing in on those promises. Do you then start doubting that he's going to deliver? Yes, 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 yes. God, I thank you for this promotion that's on the way, for this increase that's on the way. Lord, I thank you for all of those things that you have promised me. And then you have the peace of knowing God's going to do what he promised he would do. And the peace of God, which passeth, and this word passeth means superior. It means beyond. It means above. Listen, and the peace of God which passeth, which is superior, which is more than, which is above, listen, your understanding, my understanding, each of our understanding, because his thoughts are not our thoughts. And his ways are not our ways. So if God said he's going to do it, your question isn't to God how. Your question is, Lord, what do you want me to do in the meantime if you don't know what it is? And he'll tell you, but just go and praise me. Because he's worthy. He's too honorable to tell you he's going to do something and don't do it. So when you praise him in advance and when you show him honor in advance, and when you believe what he says in advance, he gives you a peace that passeth all understanding. And it's not this. And shall keep your hearts and mind. If you look up this word keep, it comes from a military term, which means to set sentinels. Are guards around. And so when God sets sentinels all around you and guard the peace and the promise and the provisions that he's given to you, the devil in hell can't take them away. Listen at this, because you should have been shouting. I can tell you, you ain't getting it, so I'm going to spend some time working on it. I said, when you have the peace of God, the devil didn't give it. Your loved ones didn't give it. You didn't even give it to yourself. God gave it to you. And if God gave it to you, nobody can take it away from you. And so what he does after he gives you peace, the Bible says, and will keep. Keep. That means he has set guards all around. You remember when he told Adam and Eve not to eat off the tree of knowledge and the tree of life, and they ate off the tree of knowledge, and they got kicked out of the garden? He set a sentinel, angels, north, east, south, and west, with a flaming sword, say, come on. Come on back here, try to eat off this tree of life. They had better sense than to try, because death would have ensued if they had tried. When anybody tries to take your peace that God has given to you, do you know you ain't got to fight the battle? God's got it already fixed for you. Listen, and what does he keep? Your heart and your mind. Why? Because those are the two central areas where the enemy desires to attack, and the place where you keep your most precious possessions. And when the enemy breaks in to your mind and into your heart, he wants to steal what's valuable from your heart, and he wants to turn your mind against God. And that's why when the Lord promises you something and the devil tries to steal that thought, you ought to let the devil know you are a liar, Satan. God is faithful. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. God is faithful. And when you know God is faithful, you've got to rest in that faithfulness. Yes, the rest of the world may be crumbling all around you, but God has given you a peace that passeth all understanding and is keeping your heart and your mind from being able to be filled with fear and doubt and impossibilities. When God gives you peace, it's a powerful thing. You stop worrying about how you're going to make it, because you wind up making it every day. And looking back on the day and didn't realize before you got up, God had already scheduled some folk to bless your life, to do something. He already scheduled some folk to call you and encourage you. Before you ever got up, he had already made a way for you. So all you had to do was walk in that way, because the Bible said the just shall live by faith. Now, I want to just show you something else in Scripture, because I feel like preaching, but you don't feel like witnessing, so I'm not going to be long. Listen, what is better than the peace of God? Now, before you start shouting, nothing. Ain't nothing better than the peace of God. Yes, there is. Preacher, you going to tell me there's something better than the peace of God? Yes, there is. Well, show it to me in Scripture. Well, let's just walk through Scripture. After he tells them that God's going to keep their minds and hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, he goes on in verse 8 and he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now here it is in verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And the God of peace shall be with you. See, Paul knows that they're looking at him in amazement and said, Lord, I wish I had his gifts, his abilities. I wish I had that relationship with God. But he's trying to help them understand how he got it. He says, listen, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. In other words, duplicate what I've been trying to teach you all this time. And when you do it, you'll have what I got. I got a joy that the world can't take away. Now look at this.
I told you about the peace of God, and I told you about the God of peace. Well, Pastor, isn't that the same thing? Aren't you talking semantics? No, I'm not. What is the peace of God? It's the favor of God. If you look it up, it's the favor of God. You'll recognize that it has to do with prosperity, and it has to do with all of the things that make for the assurance in God, etc. But just suffice it to say, the favor of God. When you have the peace of God, you have the favor of God on you. Because God don't give his peace to no anybody. You got to be special. You got to be his child. You got to have what he desires you to have in him to grant you his peace. Now, that's the favor of God. Well, what is the difference between verse 7 and verse 9? The difference when it says the peace of God and verse 9, the God of peace, is you move from the favor of God, an instance of peace, over to the fullness of God that's with you all the time. Let me spend 10 more minutes working on this for you. Why would you just want a piece of the peace of faith? A piece of God when you can have the fullness of the God of peace. When I have just, listen, the peace of God, it's for this situation. But when I have the God of peace, it's for every situation. Oh, I wish I had somebody in the house. And so Paul is teaching them how to move from one good degree to the next. Look at what he goes on to say. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Then he probably had some people in his church say, there you go, talking about giving again. Listen to what he says. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now listen, he ain't through. He moves on and says in verse 12, for I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Where, Paul? Everywhere. And in all things, I am instructed. Well, what do you mean, Paul, you're instructed? Because I'm connected with the God who speaks to me. I just got through telling you how to have the God of peace. So he tells me what to do. Listen at this. Listen. I'm instructed, listen, both to be full and be hungry. Both to be abased or to abound and to suffer need. And then he says this, which so many people take out of context. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, folk take that out of context, and they go try to do this thing. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthen me, and fall flat on their face. Why? Here is the truth. This is why you need to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He is not ashamed because when he talks about he can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth, all you got to do is back up to verse 12. And he's talking about all of those things. Keep it in its proper context. He knows how to be abased. He knows how to abound. He knows to be able to do that everywhere and in all things. He knows how to be full. He knows how to be hungry. He knows how to abound, and he knows how to suffer need. In other words, he knows how to move as the Spirit of the living God tells him to. You see, he doesn't know everything, but God does. There are some places you may go, and they may lay a banquet out before you, and the Spirit of God say, don't you eat a thing. And then all of a sudden, I'm full. I can't. Well, I just have some. No. And if you learn to listen, you're going to be blessed. You disobey God, and you'll be singing to the moonlight and barking at the sun and marrying folk that you weren't supposed to be married to and giving folks stuff that wasn't supposed to be given away to. I'm just trying to tell. Y'all know something about witchcraft, voodoo. Oh, you do. Don't act like you don't. And folk will set you up, but you got to know how to obey God. Sometimes, listen, God wants you to humble yourself even though you may have everything you have need of. But he will have you to be needy. Not for you, but for the person he's trying to get that deposit out of their hands into your hands so he could bless them back. If you remember the widow of Zarephath, the man of God went in the city. He found the woman. She was coming across the gate as he was coming in. He stopped her. He said, ma'am, do you have any water? And she was going to fetch him some water. Didn't even ask him. He said, oh, and do you have a little morsel of bread? And she said, well, I only have a little oil in the cruse and a little meal. I was looking for two sticks so I could prepare this last meal for me and my son, and we were going to eat it and die. The man of God said, don't do that. Prepare me a little cake first. Now, you know, that seems irrational to folk who are thinking with the logical, natural mind. But because it didn't make sense, the woman is telling you this is her last supper. She only has a little bit of meal and a little oil in the cruse, and she's about to eat it, she and her son, and die. And you ask for a little of the little? She's a widow woman. Her husband's been dead. Her son's too young to work. And the last that she has, you're that insensitive that you are going to ask her to make you a little cake first? Not eat yours, and if you have a crumb or two left over, give it to me. You said first. And the woman didn't say anything. She just turned around and did as the man of God asked her to, brought him back cake and water, and he ate. And he promised that woman that as long as there was a famine in the land, it lasted 3 years and 6 months, that she would eat every day of her life.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do 3 things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ.